This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Here is your starter for 10. Lost one, lost one, lost one, lost one, drew one. And the last five of those gents have not been too shabby. You beat Spurs, you beat Arsenal, and you beat Forest. We're going to brush past the game with Southampton, too much turkey, etc., all of that, and a draw at Brighton, to be fair.
Easy way of dismissing
there
it.
There you go. Not too bad, of course.
That was Morse code for Chelsea, wasn't it? Lost one, lost one.
There you go, yeah. Exactly. That's exactly it. This is the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. It is our Friday night fan show special here on Love Sport. But right now, it's all about the Blues, and we've got the guys from the Chelsea Fancast on, Jonathan Kidd.
Beadle.
And Dan Silver too. Hello, Dan.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I believe Dean Mears is going to be joining us shortly. He's stuck on a train.
Somewhere. Outside of somewhere.
So he'll be here. Shortly. Yeah. He'll be here. And we've got plenty coming up over the course of the next hour. Of course, the win over Forest in the FA Cup. We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about all £247 million of Roman Abramovich. We're going to be touching on some transfer news. Plenty of chat, plenty of rumours circulating that have created a bit of discontent, I would say, amongst certain Chelsea fans. And of course, looking ahead to the game this Saturday at 3 p.m. How good does that sound, gents, against Burnley? Fellas,
I don't know, I've got used to Sundays and 5:15s
and
3 o'clock. Having been a traditionalist all my life, I'm now getting used to just turning up and whenever I feel like it and getting it wrong. I got the time wrong last week. I arrived, I missed the first half, I thought it was 3:01. I got the one bit right, and it was 2:01. So I missed the first half against Forest.
No!
And the goals, even more.
And the goals and the performance, because they performed much better in the first half.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. I really did.
That is ridiculous. Well, the 0-1 was obviously
it was
poignant.
Stuck in my mind.
Which was the purpose of that campaign.
Yeah, indeed. It succeeded, absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. That was a great campaign.
But, you're right. Really, it should always be 3 o'clock, because I'm now getting these senior moments.
100%, yeah. Growing up as a kid, it was 3 o'clock on Saturday. Get the car for 5 o'clock for Sports Report, whatever.
I think particularly when it comes to the FA Cup, when they're having the ludicrous business of Hull at 5:30 when there are no trains back, that's really well thought out, isn't it, by the FA?
I think a few fans have been up in arms over the course of the past week because this is the time, isn't it, when fixtures start to be announced. Oh, this is going to be on Sky, this is going to be on BT Sport, these are the FA Cup fixtures, and everyone goes, oh, great. Well, that's completely ruined my weekend.
So you've got Newcastle and Hull back-to-back weeks.
Really well thought out, isn't it? Whoever did that is just completely idiotic.
Are
fans taken into consideration anymore?
Well, of course not. We're not going to dwell on this for this particular show, but how does this continue to happen? How does it? How does this still happen?
It's just scheduling, isn't it, entirely? They've just fitted it in a hole. It's got nothing to do with assessing where the team has played before or who where they should. They're obviously doing it in their mind. We've got this cup tie here, so that needs to balance with this one. And they're looking for an upset. They think Hull might win it because, Chelsea at the moment are a bit inconsistent. So let's have it nearer the evening so we'll get higher viewing ratings. It's just, viewing figures.
Awful draw. It's so hard to pick out a really exciting tie from what came out of the hat. I mean, there's really nothing that's going to go wow, like an Arsenal Leeds or a Liverpool having a big game. Liverpool Everton, I mean, that's what you want.
You're right. But the thing is, even the Arsenal Leeds, and we'll get onto that in the Leeds fan show that is coming up at 8 p.m, but even that took about 85 minutes before there was a bit of grit, a bit of feistiness. It took so long before that to actually become the cup tie that we thought it was going to be.
Absolutely. Tedious beyond belief. I watched the whole of it. I'm afraid I fell asleep the last 10 minutes. It really was.
You missed the best bit.
I did, clearly. missed the scrap, didn't I? But I thought Leeds were very good in the first half, and then Arsenal somehow got it together. And we're not here to talk about them. I'm slightly despair at the moment, the Chelsea 7-2. Despite it being an attractive, catchy song, Tottenham got better at 7-2 at home. To have another Tottenham song when it's imminent that Leeds will be back in the division. Now, what are we going to do? Because Leeds are the enemy, have always been the enemy.
We've got one or two songs.
I know, but will that take over again, or will that just be forgotten? I'm just, you know, as a
What the old Leeds songs, will they return, do you mean?
Yeah, will they return? Will they actually, will Leeds become the enemy? Because they were the enemy before, or will they just...
A generational thing. I think Leeds have been out of sight, out of mind, Premier League terms, for quite a long time. And a lot of people...
Yeah, it's just somebody like me.
I remember my dad's shame.
How sweet of you.
I remember my dad's shame in the 1970 Cup Final the first time, kicking lumps out of each other.
It was phenomenal. Yeah, honestly, anybody listening to this who doesn't know about the rivalry, try and watch the 1970 Cup, both of them, particularly the replay, which is absolutely astonishing, because there would be nobody left on the pitch. Yeah. It's really worth it just to see what it was that we as supporters were experiencing whenever we saw Leeds, and the amount of abuse, that slightly more polite abuse, I think, but nevertheless abuse. Completely caddish behaviour.
Well, we'll welcome it, don't we? We'll welcome Leeds back into the Premier League. I think the majority of fans will absolutely. A bit of bite. And funnily enough, you mentioned the 1970 there in the FA Cup triumph,
because they wore the kit. The
segues nicely,
which was
doesn't it?
Absolutely phenomenal. Suddenly, the club are getting it right more and more this season, and I'm a bit taken aback by it, because it was. Very emotional as well, and somebody pointed out to me, of course, that they wore the kit in the League Cup the following year as well. Yeah. The same with the yellow, because I saw them immediately bizarrely thought of a player called Paddy Mulligan, because one of our Chelsea players sort of ran a little bit. I thought, the images in my mind of this and Peter Housman, of these players from that era who I watched, and it was quite an emotive moment. Very clever marketing device. Yeah. Sold out completely.
Yeah.
No names on the back, just
completely on the ball. The one thing was that yellow tag, which I suppose it's Nike.
Yeah. Wasn't there a little Nike sort of swoosh just sort of breaking its way through the
column? Hoping to, wasn't it?
The main sponsor, very like, almost like hologram-like, wasn't it?
Yeah, but no, that really was a clever piece of marketing. I hope they can wear it again. I don't think they can wear it again in the Hull game, because, of course...
No, they can. It's an FA Cup kit.
But it's because they play in yellow. So, you know, they're the Tigers.
Hull, orange and black.
Yeah, but it's too similar to the yellow.
Apparently.
Yeah, no, so there'll be a reason for not wearing it. Now, the only reason that they wore the yellow in the Cup final, because it was the away kit at the time. Yeah. The away kit was... in 1970 was yellow socks and blue shorts with a yellow flag.
Yeah.
But they wanted to have the blue, so they just changed the colours on the shirt to yellow, because Leeds in the first game at Wembley wore red socks in order not to clash with our white socks. So it was just both sides trying to respect the basis of their original colours. And I now suspect that if this is the case, you'd have both teams playing in their away gear because they want to flog them.
That's what they do, though. I mean, you have teams like playing, you know, blue and red, and the blue team will wear the away gear.
What's that all about?
It's
exactly what it is.
Where do we stand on the whole moral issue of that, though, with the fact that it is a lovely kit, and like you said, we're waxing lyric about it right now,
and we're advertising it.
It's done its job, but should it be on sale for profit?
It's £95.
I mean,
my big bugbear with this is, imagine all those kids who got Chelsea kits on Christmas Day, and then a week later out comes another kit, which arguably is nicer than the home kit.
This is an issue with regards to kits anyway. I think we've had this discussion before, in the sense that kits only last a season nowadays. So you get to Christmas, if they've got it at the start of the season, suddenly at Christmas they're like, well, this is out of date now, because the new promos are going to start in a few months for the next kit.
A bit fair to them. They're creating very good kits. The white kit with the mod kit, wasn't it? The kind of rude boy kit from the 90s was excellent. And the black kit with the strange kind of yoke thing down the front was similarly absolutely excellent. So obviously somebody there has noticed, ooh, we're selling these. So,
but the home kit, you know,
the home kit in comparison is dreadful.
I mean,
they're ridiculous. Well, somebody wrote into Twitter, what she said, I really like the fact that they've got little bits of Stamford Bridge in it.
But, I just want a nice, like the kit, I think Nike's first kit, great blue.
I think it was two seasons ago that was just all blue.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Lovely that
was
kit.
But it was homage, in extent that this is an homage to the 1966 kit. Mm. It's absolutely
thing
similar.
Of beauty. I like a very plain, very simple kit. Yeah. I don't want any, you know, fancy down.
But you're bound to have bits of fancy bit, because you've got to have the, you know, all the badges
the bit of the East End, and
definitely not any betting
the toilets and the shed ends, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it got its first outing, this particular kit, of course, last weekend. A victory against Forest, pretty comprehensive. I mean, Sabri Lamouchi had pretty much thrown the towel in, I think, before the game, saying it would be very difficult to even win the game. No chance, I think he said.
Didn't they make about 10 changes.
Yes. And this is where you, and we've had a lot of discussion about the magic of the FA Cup over the past week on the station in the lead up to the FA Cup first round. But there were six players, funnily enough, in that Forest squad who weren't even on a list of 30 in the match day programme. That's how much he delved into his youth. I think there were five academy players starting, five on the bench. Yeah. So he's used his squad. That's nice. But on the other hand, he's basically given Chelsea a walk in the park.
Yeah. At the same time, you could argue that Chelsea didn't do well enough, particularly in the second half, because they should have taken them to the cleaners.
It doesn't happen, though. No, I know it very rarely happens. I mean,
I don't know. I think there's a strange thing about second half performances at the moment, which with Chelsea, I don't think they're maintaining the momentum in any way. And I don't quite know, and I don't think Frank's got an answer to that either, actually, because he's mentioned that in a couple of press conferences.
Yeah, I also think now the FA Cup, from a financial perspective, is not a team like Forest having a good cut run versus their league form suffering trying to get the Premier League. The Premier League's where the money is.
Don't you think there should be an incentive in some way, like in the same way the League Cup gets you into, what does that get you into?
Nothing.
Well, it gets to the Europa. Do you not get a Europa pass if you win the League Cup?
I'm not sure. The FA Cup you definitely do.
Well, it's the FA now. It is the FA, isn't it? Well, you think that would be a lure, but it's not.
If the Europa League, then you've got,
Well, it's been seen by the fact that we're going to get onto it, but Abramovich had to pay $247 million last year.
Yeah, he went down the back of his sofa.
He found it down there in loose change. Yeah. Because the club need to be in the Champions League to still maintain their status as an elite club.
If they want to follow FFP. They don't scan to score off FFP, they could have carried on. They want to FFP. I mean, that seems to have
disappeared, doesn't it?
Let's sell our training ground for £350 million to our main sponsors, but hide it under something else.
Yeah, we are going to get onto that shortly. But let's just very quickly sum up the Forest game. Another goal for Callum Hudson-Odoi. A very good goal for Ross Buckley. Well, not a very good goal, but another goal for Ross Buckley. Could have been two had it not been for a brilliant save, by the way, at the end of the game from Jordan Smith, the Forest goalkeeper. Yeah. But good to see those two on the score sheet.
Well, I was at Doy's best game all season, and I think it was just as well for him that he pulled that out of the bag, because the poor chap's been looking a bit ropey recently. And I think, was it Frank, gave him a good...
pat on the back.
Yeah, pat on the back afterwards by saying that it's been difficult for him because it was a terrible injury. And I think you just have to look at Loftus-Cheek, the state that he's in, to see how absolutely dreadful that injury was.
Loftus-Cheek was a worse injury in terms of the actual...
Indeed it was. But nevertheless, it's still the same area. And also, it's the fear you have as a player that it's going to go again, which I think there was a period just at the end of the first... I saw 10 minutes of the first half when he got injured, and he was worried that he'd really injured himself. And you can see that's in him. And that was... So in a sense, that was actually a good run out for him, because it gave him an opportunity to show, yes, I can beat people. Yes, I can hit those pinpoint passes. Yes, I can score. And because it's the second goal as well, he provided the shot for Barkley. Whereas Barkley, for me, still displayed all the various things that he displayed prior to being injured with his and his two incidents in nightclubs, wherever they were, and with the taxi driver, which is that he gives the ball away too much. He loses the ball, particularly in bad areas.
He faffs a lot.
Faffing footballer.
It'd be great to find a list of faffing footballers.
But you daren't faff, because somebody will be on you immediately and get the ball. And he got the goal all right, and he lurked beautifully behind the last man in order to tap in. Fair enough, good for him. But and it was interesting. He'd provided the pass and really had sprinted into the penalty area. So he was eager. But I actually don't think this is good enough. And I think he should be on his bike.
I think he's full stop. 24?
Yeah.
He's 26 now.
Yeah, he should have been at a much higher level than he is. I know he's had injuries and so on and so forth, but...
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Actually, hold that thought. We're going to get onto that. And actually, faffing footballers. If you've got any more faffing footballers, let us know. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us as well on that number, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. It's the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from the Chelsea Fancast, Jonathan Kidd
Beadle.
And Dan Silver. Dean Mears still not with us yet. We believe the train has come to a sudden halt, but he'll be here shortly, we hope.
And it'll be golden when he comes in. It'll be just gems,
won't
each,
it?
Each statement that he makes.
Be like, yeah,
so be prepared, everybody,
Mears
listening
Raj.
To the listener. Yes.
At the moment, isn't he? Sorry.
Well, gents, we've got to speak about Roman Abramovich. Of course we have. It's the Chelsea Fan Show, but especially this week, because the news has come out that he paid £247 million into the club's coffers last season. There was an overall loss of nearly £100 million. The figures come out, of course, that Antonio Conte received £26.6 million, which is just, I mean, I can't believe I've said that sentence. And actually, when you look at the amount that he put in as well, that was almost covering the entire player roster of those who came in. Kepa, Pulisic, Kovacic and Jorginho came to £280.6 million. So he pretty much paid for the transfers.
Didn't it come to £500 million with the, from the season before altogether? It was more than any of the other teams in the Premier League.
I heard he buy the season before that. Then we have Conte,
Bakayoko,
Drinkwater, £70 million.
Yeah.
Morata was £50 million.
That's right.
£120 million.
Right,
yeah.
That's right.
I mean, it's a lot. It's a heck of a lot of money. We know that he's got it anyway. But let's just look at that one figure that I think everybody has pulled out from the particular news of this £247 million, and it's that £26.6 million. I mean, that is just staggering.
Yeah, it was Conte and his staff.
It's his staff.
Yeah, it's not just him. No, it is.
And also, isn't there £9 million of that? Is the court case, isn't that correct? So it was 70. Is that the norm for a Premier League club and stuff? You sack somebody, I'd have thought that 17 million would be about right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be, but
if
that's
depending on the length of the contract. Oh, but isn't it staggering? I don't think it's particularly staggering for a Premier League club. If somebody's sacked early on in their deal as a four-year deal, and they're 9 million a year, already you're paying 18 million for the manager. If they're a top elite manager, which is what Chelsea aspire to every time, I'd be interested to see what Frank's on. Frank might be on only 3 million or something. Yeah. And I suspect it's 6.
Apparently he's got a clause in his contract that he keeps getting paid until he takes a job in the Premier League. If he takes a job in the Premier League, then...
Isn't that what the same with all of them? Don't they all have that?
No, I think David Moyes was still paid for 5 years after left United because they carried on paying his contract out rather than paying up front.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense. Yeah,
I think Mourinho had, when he got sacked, if he went back to Premier League, he'd have to either give a claw back or they'd stop his payments or something.
That was the same, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So if you went to somewhere in Europe, it wouldn't matter. No. So that was always, the idea. What would they do then? You'd still have to be paid all of it if you go to somewhere in Europe. They'd have to pay you all of it, regardless if you were starting a job and earning 7 or 8 million a year.
I think if Poch takes a job in the next 18 months or something, end of next season, there's some sort of claw back or something.
Right. No, that would make sense. Yeah. Levy would put something in draconian to probably say you have to pay me for the rest of your life and wait on me.
You can
be my butler.
Icelandic third division.
So in terms of the figure itself, the 250 odd million, and people often gasp at that, and I suppose you're right, kiddo, this is the Premier League. It's not an astronomical amount when you consider the great scheme of things. It's all relative, I suppose. So this news hasn't come as a shock to you.
How many other chairman bankroll clubs? I'd have thought rather a large number. I mean,
Peter Coates at Stoke did it for a long time, didn't he?
But
at a lesser level.
But even it's Enic, isn't it?
Louis. Yeah.
I'm sure that he's putting money in left, right, and centre. Is any club in the division self-sustaining? Aren't City just constantly bankrolled by their chairman? Tottenham are constantly bankrolled by the shareholders.
United,
so they said it. So
£800 million in debt.
I'm saying. I'm not aghast by it at all. I'm just a bit bewildered because I thought that they'd made all the money back via selling Hazard. That goes to next season.
Yes.
Right. Well, that therefore makes sense. They'll do all right this season. But it tells us that he really is still completely interested in the club, which was actually never a doubt. Purely scaremongers and the tabloids just suggesting that Chelsea were in free fall when Sarri wasn't doing... Every time the club isn't doing very well, they always come up with another negative story associated with that, probably that... Abramovich is trying to flog the club, or the club's in dire straits or whatever, and it's not the case. He's complete. Buck has just made the statement, hasn't it, that he's completely behind the club, and that's why he's put all the money in. But also, you can at the same time, I think I've told this story before, he paid for an arts centre at a school in Hammersmith that his daughter was at, and bought a flat in Chelsea Reach, wasn't it? Penthouse.
Imperial
Wharf. Just, you know, in the last season. So these hardly seem to be the actions to me of a man who is trying to sever his ties with the country or even with the club. So these this doom-laden scenario that he's selling at, what was it, that guy who came in, Fleetwood, for 2.4.
Ratcliffe.
And the club itself, Ratcliffe, that's right. The club itself is valued at 3.6 billion, but it's not. He's not going to sell, and I'm not sure that he'll carry on with the ground improvement, because I'm not sure the economic climate obviously isn't right. But at the same time, what does it gain for the club, in the sense that it might just be his kind of
legacy?
It's a legacy he creates, but you don't need, because of the money coming in via the TV rights, you don't need to have a 70,000 seater to get the money in, do you? That was the initial reason for having an enormous attendance, because you could then the money allowed you to buy the better players. This isn't necessary anymore.
And his legacy is a trophy, is a success
Years. But I was thinking about it the other day, if Frank doesn't make, not that I'm absolutely happy with Frank, and I think it's wonderful the options that we have, but if by any chance we discovered that actually this hasn't been working and he wants to go back to the chaos that we've had before, and he just bankrolls, you know, a manager from a stellar manager with about six new buys, he'll do it.
Yeah,
that's the nice thing about the club is it'll people will despair and they'll say he's buying trophies again, but it's what everybody does, is what happens.
That's what Liverpool.
Yeah,
when they were successful, they were backed by Littlewoods. They were spending relatively, like, you know, they bought Steve Nicol for $800,000.
They bought two new players every season
for a lot of money. In the term in those days. Yeah, they bought success as well.
They did indeed. And you mentioned the Eden Hazard transfer there, the selling of your prized asset. The news, of course, has come out this week about potential players leaving Stamford Bridge. We're going to get onto a bit of transfer talk now, gents, because Olivier Giroud is one, apparently has agreed personal terms with Inter Milan.
There, apparently.
So he looks like he's on his way.
Well, I was a bit dismayed to see pictures of Giroud and his representatives at the Italian airport.
Yes, but that could be a random Photoshop.
No, but that's the point. Giroud wasn't any one of these blokes. Yeah. There was a bloke at the back in glasses who wasn't him, and none of the others. So that was just a picture of four men
looking possibly like with sunglasses.
And I was told that they're not going to sell Giroud unless they get the right money they want for him, and that it would be better if he was part of a deal. So in other words, if Lyon wanted to sell Dembele, which they don't, because it's not right for them at the moment, they've got too many injuries. If he wanted to sell him, they would try and use Giroud as a bargaining chip.
A make-weight.
Yeah, so yeah. I honestly don't... I'm not convinced that this Milan thing is going to go through.
I think he'll be gone by the end of the window, personally.
But I think he'll be out. In the same way, the Emerson doesn't want to be there and has asked to leave. Frank doesn't rate Alonso. So they have to get a left back. So I don't know who that's going to be.
Thomas Lamar, wasn't
it? Yeah, they've talked about him. But at the same time, some of the ridiculous... Thank goodness the Chilwell business has disappeared. Yeah. I mean, that was so ridiculous, whoever came up with that. And the Twitter hounds just smelling something. Going, yes, it must be him. Yes, Chilwell. Let's all have him.
Let's
make
a picture of Ben Chilwell in a Chelsea kit.
Exactly. But I despair at the idiocy, the gullibility on Twitter of people just going, he's who we want. And some of the people, do you honestly think that Frank is going to buy somebody who is about as good or not as good as the players that he has at the moment? What would be the use of that? Yeah. Apparently Christensen is going, and who is it? We're buying the bloke from West Ham, the centre-half.
Oh, Diop.
Is that likely? I thought the idea was that he wanted to get stars in this period. Yeah. If you're going to get anybody, get somebody
really top. He
even said
today, Frank, that he wants to make Christian.
What did he say?
Christian's not getting anywhere. I want to develop him to play that he can be. He's clearly got a lot of talent, Christensen.
Yeah, well, he said that. Well, referee's not going. So with the bloke who made that up, there was a bloke just who said, I'm getting rid of my Christensen shirt because he's off.
If he goes, I'm going to have a tattoo on my backside or something.
Yeah.
Just because Phil 666 from Grimsby wants to sign XYZ, the club are not going to listen to you, mate.
Yeah.
And this is what the January transfer window, what the summer window is all about, though, isn't it? This is the problem, is that all these rumours come out, a lot of it is just hot air and guff.
Nearly all of it.
But as fans, we can't help but indulge it sometimes. Mm, and what it does is create a debate, and suddenly we go, oh, actually, what about that player? Perhaps he would work for us.
I think we should abolish the window, go back to the old days. We could sign players all up until
whenever you
want.
Up until March.
Up until March.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have a transfer week. Yeah. Sky would love it. A transfer week, non-stop rumours.
But so rumours all the way up through to March? I mean, every week?
No, like they have the last week of March, whenever it's Easter time, it used to be. Right. You have like a transfer window week. And that's it, you know, one in a day.
Yeah.
I just think we just buy players when you want.
Jim White would never be allowed to sleep.
Crying out.
Yeah. He'd have to have a trestle bed and be roused whenever another rumour came up.
I think he'd spontaneously combust.
What I've been told is that from my source is that they do need a left back, which is pretty glaringly obvious because Reece James is so fantastic at right back. With the kind of cross that's necessary. I will use the two boys at Liverpool as my kind of templates because Robertson is fantastic
and so's
Alexander-Arnold. But not only did they get up the pitch so quickly, it's this ability to curl those crosses in. And I think Beckham-like crosses from Reece James.
Yeah.
And Dave, bless his cotton socks, he's a fantastic defender. If he plays left-back, which he should because Emerson and Alonso only works in the 3-4-3. Yeah. He doesn't defend well enough. And Frank doesn't want him. Frank wants him to go. So he's going. And so my view is that it'll be Alonso will go. Emerson has asked to leave because he doesn't want to live in England anymore. So you've got those two left backs wanting to go.
You have a void there then.
It'll be a left back somewhere, and he wants to put pressure on Kepa because despite him performing terribly well against Brighton the other day, which should never have happened in the first place because Kovacic came off and played like a complete idiot. And then, but he all did was foul when he came on.
And
it was ridiculous. He needs somebody to put he needs pressure on Kepa. Yeah. So I've heard he's going to do that. And he's after a striker because they wanted to sell Batshuayi. I was a bit disturbed that Palace, they were going to loan him to Palace again because they've asked, but Palace appear to be about to sign him.
They've actually signed him.
They've signed him. Well, that means that avenue is gone. And I don't think Frank is going to get rid of players, assign a player, unless there's a vacancy from another player.
Well, we can't. Because we can't just go through Tammy now to
No, indeed, yeah. indeed. So if Giroud goes, there has to be a sign. If Giroud goes, which is likely, there has to be an equivalent purchase. So I think that's going to be a couple of loan signings
rather than transfers.
Well, Dries Mertens is another name that has been linked.
There we go. 32.
Won't get the contract.
32. Yeah. Won't get the contract.
And Mr. Dembele?
Ever. Dembele, I think, is a kind of...
if the money's right, Olas will sell.
They've just said, the chairman said, I'm not selling. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, because the chairman wants more money.
He does as well.
When we signed Michael Essien,
he said the same. Yeah. I agree.
He's not going anywhere.
I think potentially, if you look at him, yes, he's a very decent player. I don't know why they didn't snap him up before. I don't know why, but I suppose they felt there.
From Celtic, didn't he?
Yeah, from Celtic. Yeah. He was having such a good season there. But that seems to me the most likely. But once again, my source said that Frank really didn't rate him.
Dembele.
It's all about, Frank said today in the press conference, it's about whether he wants the players. They're not being foisted on him by Marina, which is great. But to be fair, Marina didn't really foist in the Conte season. It was the fact that Conte disappeared and they were then going, oops, who do we get?
Talking of Dembele, you could probably get two of them Dembeles. There's so many of them around, aren't there?
Yeah.
They're literally like...
Isn't it a name like Smith in the end? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. Because there's two Musas. There's one that used to be at Spurs.
There's a newsman. Yeah. There's another. Obviously, the Musa is at Spurs. You've got the Karamoko, of course, who's at Celtic. The young lad is about 14 years old now.
Would they be Dembele FC?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I like that. Dembele FC.
So we've got that. What other teams could make up of players from leagues around?
I'll tell you what.
And also, so we've got Faffing players. And
Team of Vans. And Dutch team of Vans.
Yeah, we could get that, couldn't we? Yeah.
Hold that thought.
Yeah.
We'll think about that during the break. because next we're going to be looking ahead to the game with Burnley and, of course, the team of Faffers.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast. Dan Silver, Jonathan Kidd. Still no Dean Mears. We don't know where he is. We do hope he's okay.
When he comes, it will be golden. When he comes. He'll be here. Even if it's only for 2 minutes.
With a lump of celery.
Yeah, perfect.
Or when he comes. What's that? When he comes, he'll be...
He'll be coming around the corner when he comes.
Isn't that a song, isn't it?
No, well, if
it's
if,
a good one, though. I like it.
Mountain, coming round the mountain. By the way, for old listeners of the show, a certain Johnny Burrow is peering at me through the looking glass right now. He's temporarily stepped in for our producer, Paddy, to push a couple of buttons. Producer Johnny.
What's happened to Paddy? Has he been caught,
I think he's gone to find Dean. He's gone to find Dean Mears. There we go. He's gone to try and find the lad.
We did finish the last section
about transfers, and we are going to move on. But I just want to quickly just stoke a bit of the kiddo fire here.
The kiddo bile.
Because there's a few more that I want to discuss. One, Thomas Lemar, of course, of Atletico Madrid. He's been rumoured.
How many goals has he scored?
He's not had a particularly good time at Atletico, isn't it?
He's a left back.
Yeah, three goals. He's a left back. Yeah. But I thought he was a winger. He's not a winger.
Well, he's a wing back.
Oh, it doesn't matter then if he scored three. Okay, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting.
You don't mind that one?
No, I don't mind that. Well, it's at least somebody's put forward a left back. I haven't heard any of Sink other than Chilwell, which was never going to happen in the first place.
I don't think we'll call Lamar a left back. I'd say he's more of an attacking.
Whenever he's a wing back, then I'm not sure that's... It might be... You know, Alonso, that's the thing. Alonso can't defend. You need somebody who does both, I'm afraid.
Good defender as well.
Well, good. Well, then it's an option. At least that's a left back, which is the position they need to fill. Mm. But the other one that you mentioned...
Gael Upamecano. Yeah, from RB Leipzig, which, as I ranted in the break,
I can't see why a team that's doing unbelievably well in the Bundesliga would want to sell one of their best players to Chelsea. Particularly as Dan said, they're sponsored by a sugar drinks company. Yeah, sugar drinks company who gives you wings, make billions. I think are unlikely to need the money. Yeah. So I don't think that's a goer. No, that one at all. But I'd love to see somebody off the wall that we haven't even thought about, off the radar, I should say. And I think that'll be the case. I think we'll be surprised by who they buy.
But what I don't want to do is wait till, you know, 5 to 11 or 30.
Well,
of
would
January.
You believe to my despair, Ron, who's my source?
I was waiting for him, mate. You've mentioned your source for the past 37 minutes, and he's finally appeared.
It's Ron. Ron actually said, I saw him at the Forest game, and he said, "Well, Jonathan," he said, "I'm not going to add anything to what I've given before." He said, "Frank doesn't write Dembele, so we're not going to be seeing him." He said, "But something's going to happen at the very end of a transfer window, something really interesting." Yes, you know, that's not particularly interesting. No. Really, really big and interesting. I said, "Ron, you're toying with me, aren't you?" I think they'll have him on a year's lease on a buyback.
No, I think they'll sign Sancho, like do Pulisic and then him back to Dortmund.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. I think that's a possibility.
You know,
yeah,
he's a Chelsea fan. He knows Callum Tammy.
I think it's a possibility. But that's what he said to me. And it was he who came up with all of the... Well, no, he deduced, he made sense about all the business of wanting the left back and everything. All these things, but trying to get into the manager's head to an extent to see what he requires in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, we know
that he's got a certain number of players who he wants to keep. He wants to persist with, particularly the Mounts and the Pulisics of this world, because they've shown flashes of excellence. And Kovacic and Jorginho and Kante. I don't think he's quite got the balance right, you know, but nonetheless.
I have a feeling Angola might go in the summer.
Yeah. I think he might as well.
I think PSG will...
Because he's 29, isn't he? He's probably got another 3 years on him.
PSG put in a silly offer. I'd be inclined to sell him. Yeah. As much as I love him, I think, you know...
Yeah. But they do have an Idrissa Gueye, don't they, that they signed this summer, who is kind of like a Kante-esque.
Angola Light, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a great way of describing it, to be fair.
Well, you see the ex-Everton player, you mean?
That's the one.
He's a good player. I mean...
Yeah. Why didn't it work for him there at Goodison Park?
I think it did. It did work, I'd say.
I don't know why. Did his contract come to an end? He just wanted to leave.
He got a chance to go to PSG, so that's what you do, don't you?
Well, they got rid of Rabiot, hadn't they?
Has Verratti gone as well?
I thought he was a fantastic player. I never quite understood why they went more Premier League club. Perhaps they were, we don't know.
Indeed, there always seems to be... bit of controversy with Rabiot and the fact that his mum's his agent, and there's been various controversies over the year. But yes, we're going to move on now to the game against Burnley later in about 5-7 minutes time or so. We're going to speak to Dan Black from the Burnley Express. But of course, it is Burnley this weekend. 4-2 earlier in the season. Hat-trick for Christian Pulisic. His first goals for the club on that occasion. He's not in this week. He's out with an injury. But the big stat is that Frank Lampard is obviously campaigning to not go three defeats at home on the bounce for the first time since, Dan Silver?
1985.
1993. Oh, okay. Under Glenn Hoddle, no less. A defeat against Norwich at the Bridge, followed by a defeat against Oldham at the Bridge, followed by a defeat against Arsenal.
So does it count that the FA Cup match, does that count? Doesn't count?
No, league, just Premier League. Okay. Yeah, just Premier League.
Okay.
And of course, it's Southampton and your two defeats at home, Southampton Bournemouth. And Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Of course. So,
at least they're not on the South Coast. So let's hope.
There we go. So, gents, this is, without no Pulisic, of course, he's out for a bit. Callum Hudson-Odoi, we did speak about him, to be fair, and you said that he's been poor. But in terms of his form, his last 13 starts at home, he's been directly involved in 11 goals. So, not bad in terms of his stats. That's in all competitions, by the way, not just the Premier League.
Was that the Europa League as well?
Yeah, all comps.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been, I think it wasn't difficult for him to star in that, actually.
I mean, people now have to come to Stamford Bridge now and sit deep. So Sean Dyche will know exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
But Burnley, they haven't got as many mobile forwards as other clubs have got. They've got, Woods.
They've got Woods. He's a decent player, isn't he?
Yeah,
but
he's
very good,
Ashley Barnes.
Barnes is injured.
Is he injured?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and they've got the McNeil, the young lad, who looks a really good prospect.
Very useful.
Looks a really good prospect. I think it'll be another tough game. If we can get an early goal and then, put them to bed quickly.
And Drinkwater, of course, has gone off to Villa.
He's gone to Villa, yeah.
Should be interesting. Not that he could have played against us anyway, but I'd like him to have done.
I kind of get his career back on track because it wasn't his fault he came to Chelsea. He just seems gone completely off the rails since he left Leicester.
When you look at that, when you look at that move, and we'll speak to Dan Black about this, about the fact that it didn't work out for him at Burnley, he cost a lot of money from Leicester, didn't he? £40 million?
Wasn't it 32 or something?
Yeah, between 30 and 40, so a lot of money.
My bugbear of the Chelsea transfer policy in the last few years is they spent nearly £70 million on Bakayoko and Drinkwater. Why not just buy a world-class midfielder for £70 million at the time?
Yeah.
And then you could have had another development.
Well, they were trying to cope there, weren't they, with the time with Conte wanting to buy Chiellini, Llorente and...
Well, Llorente would have failed miserably.
Yeah, miserably, yeah, but he wanted
Chiellini, my brother, obviously. Those
who indeed,
don't know me.
Indeed. Mark Butcher, actually.
I don't know, I think it's Chiellini.
Okay, all right.
I called Mark Butcher, didn't I, a few weeks ago. Yeah. It's definitely a bang on that one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Bonucci was the other one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But who are still playing for Inter, good on them.
Problem is, it's it.
But he wanted to offer them 2-year contracts for both at £250,000 a week, which I don't think the board were very happy with.
Well, that's not sustainable, but...
No, but...
Cutlass and Conte was great for one season.
No, the problem is whether or not he would have made them, we will never know whether he would have made the club into a very interesting... Yeah. An interesting fortress as a consequence of buying those players, instead of which we got the bizarre Bakayoko. I think every member of the Monaco team that was sold is a star, other than Bakayoko. So the only one we got was the complete and utter disappointment.
Even Mendy, who's been injured, is still doing well. I think Bakayoko is. There's a Blue Squirrel, who's a friend of our fan cast, was saying that he was signed injured and really shouldn't have been signed because he had a lot of problems with his knee and his calf and stuff. And he was, throwing his toys out of pram to get him over
course,
the line.
Of course, it was this is one of the problems with poor old Loftus-Cheek, apparently, that his calves, haven't they, are half the size they were. But it's absolutely obvious when you have such a dreadful injury and he couldn't walk at all. His parents had to come back home, help him get up, get him out of bed. He was so injured.
Well, apparently the mechanism of the injury was so bad because all the strands and so on and so forth is probably one of the worst splits you can get.
I've gone off that again. Gone back to Loftus-Cheek again. No, I'm just trying to dispel this thing because every single time he's mentioned, he'll be back in February. When he comes back, we'll be a great team again. People are just so on a different planet.
We won't see the best room until next season.
Well, I don't think, indeed. I don't think he'll be back at all this season.
I think he'll play, but he won't be dynamic because he's got to get the match finished.
Yeah,
but
indeed.
Huge,
but also, he's a huge bloke. He's got to, and if Frank thinks he's not charity, he's not going to think, oh, let's give him a go. He'll have to be playing some competitive games at reserve level. It's the only way.
He might even have a 6-month loan next season.
Yeah.
He might after that.
He might. Well, indeed, chaps. Well, next we've got Dan Black from the Burnley Express on. Stick with us.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
The Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, and the guys from the Chelsea Fan Cast, Jonathan Kidd and Dan Silver. Demir, sadly, doesn't look like he's going to make it,
but
gents.
When he does travesty. Come, there'll be gems.
I really hope he makes it for the last minute of the show.
Yeah, you pop his head in and we go, sorry, Dean, you're too late.
He's going to be like the Steve Harvey, the super sub. He'll come in and just...
I'll say to him, say something really interesting, Dean, as he pops his head in. And he'll go...
And that's it for us. See you next week.
We'll see you next week. Well, Dan, you did mention that you wanted Chelsea to score an early goal and kill this game off at the weekend. Interestingly... the 29 goals that Chelsea have conceded this season, 8 of them have come in the final 10 minutes, which I suppose is quite a large percentage of goals that you've conceded in the final 10 minutes. And when you switch that to Burnley's 24 goals they've scored in the Premier League this season, a third of them have been scored in the final 10 minutes. So you want it, potentially, done and dusted.
And they'll score in the last 10 minutes, won't they?
As long as the consolation.
Long as we're 3-0 up.
Chris Wood in my fantasy league team, so it's kind of... Ooh.
Yeah. No, but once again, how do you predict this? I mean, I was early on in the season, I kept saying, we'll score 4 because they were playing so well. They scored 4 against Burnley, didn't they?
They did.
I mean, tore Wolves apart at Molineux.
Yeah, absolutely tore them apart. And yet we're now not seeing that. So what has gone wrong?
We've been found out a little bit. These players are still learning.
Yeah, and also they are playing that block, aren't they? They are playing the 10 across and stopped us stifling them. But they not seem to be passing the ball as quickly.
Well, I think Kovacic is key for us. Starting with Kovacic, I think, because the way he protects the ball.
In the Watford game, for example, it was fantastic. These little triangles being created all the time with these first-time passing with Jorginho as well was absolutely fantastic. Mm. But we haven't achieved that.
Okay, well... It is 6 defeats in 8 for the Clarets leading up to this one. We're going to find a bit more out about them right now. We've got Dan Black from the Burnley Express on the line. Dan, thank you very much for joining us. Chelsea-Burnley at the weekend. How are you calling this one?
It's hard to say at the minute, isn't it? The Clarets are obviously on a little bit of a poor run. Not particularly performing too well either.
As are Chelsea, of course.
They've lost 6 of the last 8 and... I think Chelsea have lost a few games unexpectedly at home as well, so it's hard to say which way it's going to swing, really.
I've got a question for you. Do you think Sean Dyche's methods are now kind of losing impact? Similar to Pochettino, he's been there for so long, and suddenly his way he's working. Do you think maybe it's falling on deaf ears, or is it just a bit of bad form?
I think it's hard to say. I mean, a club like Burnley are always going to be up against it at that level. There's so many elite teams there. I think the one thing I will say is that against the so-called top 6 or the big 6, they've always impacted games. They've always been in it. They've always kept it tight. And this season, they haven't done that. They've not taken a point against a side in the top 6 yet. Mm-hmm. They were beaten comfortably against Chelsea at home, lost comfortably against City at home, thrashed against Spurs away. And they've not looked like getting anything out of them, where in the past they have done.
Is there something missing in terms of a key player or...
I think it is a slightly ageing group. It does need modifying.
He's got Rodriguez I think Rodriguez is a really good player. I've always thought that was the case.
He was unlucky with injuries,
really unlucky.
He
was good for fantastic for Southampton when he was playing with.
He was about to get into the World Cup, wasn't he?
Yeah,
and he did his crucial.
And even at West Brom, I thought he was great. And he's got some good goals. I've always been impressed by him. So I thought that was a really terrific signing for you. He's done well, hasn't he? Yeah.
I think he just needs a run of games. I mean, he's been coming on here and there and not really been given the ideal time to have a true impact, but his stats this season are phenomenal. He's scored 6 goals in 7 starts and he's only had 10 shots on target, so that if he is given a chance and he can just kind of settle into the team and get a bit of a rhythm going, he could be a key player for Burnley.
So Chris Wood will start up front, I assume?
I think it might be Chris Wood and Jay Rodriguez.
Yeah, because what has Barnes done? How has he injured himself?
He was set to see a specialist today. It's been something that's bothered him for most of the season so far. It's a groin injury.
Oh, right. I find him a character, Ashley Barnes, because he's unbelievably competitive.
Oh, yeah.
It's the kind of player that I think if he was playing for you, you'd love it. You'd absolutely love it. But
exactly
when he's playing against you, you're always going, oh, wait, look what he's done now. Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, he's a bit like an old proper old fashioned centre forward. Yeah, you know, yeah. He's like he and Glenn Murray kind of like almost like journeyman strikers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think he's better than Murray. I think he's surprised he hasn't played for England. Barnes,
he's Austrian.
Actually.
Has
he played for Austria?
I think he played under 21s or something for them.
Oh, did he play for Austria?
I think one of his parents.
His grandparents, I think he qualifies, but he hasn't actually made a senior appearance. Yeah. Dan, sorry, go on.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, a player, of course, that is no longer on the books of Burnley. He's now gone on loan to Aston Villa from Chelsea. We've got to talk about him. Mr. Danny Drinkwater, a pretty ill-fated loan spell at Turf Moor.
It was, yeah. it won't go down as the greatest loan signings in.
Did he play? He had a game, didn't he? Just one game?
He played a cup game and then he started against City as well. I'm not sure what happened behind closed doors. It's, you know, I don't want to presume anything. But
cast aspersions when you don't know.
Yeah, I don't think, obviously, the incident outside the Manchester nightclub did him any favours. It obviously knocked him back a week or two or a month or two, and when you're only on loan until January, it's
ridiculous.
A lot of time to catch up then, and it's, you know, Dutch has got this method where he'll only play players when they're Dutch fit, you know, when they're fully ready to go, then they'll get their opportunity, and I just don't think Drinkwater after that incident recovered quick enough to kind of impact on the starting 11.
Your centre half, what's his name,
Tarkowski.
Tarkowski. Has he been playing particularly well? Because he was playing for England, wasn't he, a couple of seasons ago, and he seems to have dropped out of favour with Southgate.
He's had some very strong performances in recent weeks, and he has dipped in and out in others as well. But on the whole, he has been one of the Burnley's better players this season. He's been tight, and his partnership with Ben Mee continues to flourish. They're a very strong pairing. They're not allowing too many shots on goal for the opposition.
Yeah, I've always thought Mee was excellent as well. Actually.
Yeah,
really good player.
Well.
And I'm praising Burnley immensely because I always feel they're putting a lot of effort. I've watched them and that sounded a bit derogatory. I didn't mean that. They always put in a lot of effort, but the feeling is in the division they're sort of punching above their weight. But I've never thought that was the case. Actually, I've always thought they're holding their own. Yeah. Easily. Except occasionally he seems to play the odd long ball dish. Is that part of his tactics? I don't quite get that. I thought it was a team that can play really quite intricate stuff, but from time to time, he just boots the ball up for Wood to run after it.
Yeah, I mean, they are a side that can mix it up very well. You know, when they want to play short and intricate, they can do. When they need to go a bit more direct, they can do. Just the last few games, it's just been a bit pedestrian. It's been too predictable.
Right.
They've had three shots on target four Premier League games.
Mind you, I think so of Chelsea, so it should be interesting.
What's your prediction for tomorrow?
Oh, God, don't ask me that. do you know what? I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say 1-1.
Oh, 1-1. Dan?
Yeah, we've had a couple of decent trips there recently. You know, we've taken 4 points from the last two trips there and scored 5 goals. So hopefully that can continue.
And you'll get the one in the last 10 minutes, as you normally do then.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Dan, thank you very much
for joining us.
That was Dan Black from the Burnley Express. And he's right, in the past 5 Premier League meetings, just the one defeat, that was in 2017. Of course, they got that... The one defeat for Chelsea. Yeah. Sorry, I've got that completely wrong. The two defeats for Burnley. But that one defeat, of course, coming in 2017 on the opening day.
Cahill sent off, Fabregas sent off.
Poor old Cahill was sent off. Was it...
Boga.
What's his face's first game?
Yeah, Boga started.
No, the referee.
I can't remember who the referee was.
He's now regular, but it was his first game and he gave for poor old Cahill.
Well, no, Cahill deserved to go. Fabregas got a soft second yellow. Luis scored, then Morata scored, and 5 more minutes, we probably got a...
And I just felt that Cahill's challenge was all slightly... You know, it wasn't as if he madly kicked him and he was in agony, but it was a foul, nonetheless.
He just missed
the ball, poor old Cahill.
And, gents, for yourselves, the predictions for this weekend... Craig Pawson, by the way, was the referee.
Poor son.
Yeah,
I remember saying at the time, oh dear, he's going to be in the Premier League for the next few years, isn't he? As you know, I'm not fond of referees.
Absolutely not.
Right, but I think it's going to be. Uh, I think 3-1 to the Blues.
I'm going to go for a 2-0 clean sheet. Solid performance, I think.
All right, that's very impressive. Good.
Great way to start the year on the Chelsea fan show.
And it's Dean Mears.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.